As in normal conditions, but that doesn't work for some people. You know, when you're younger, you don't think of it, sure you don't. But as you get older, you go slower. You know, when we used to come from Scarborough on a Sunday, if you got stuck behind my dad, it was a long run to Pontbridge. And you know, when my dad was young, I remember as a wee lad, I'm flying in a car, but as he got older, I think he only got about second gear. Praise God, the Lord's good, anyhow. Let's read Psalms 24 tonight, and then we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read Psalm 24, and the Lord bless each one. And I want us to pray especially for Sister Carl, which is the situation with this house she sold. And that everything will go through and the devil won't be fit to rob her of anything. And others as well this evening, let's keep praying for Sister Jenny as well. And other people that's bereaved this evening, let's just pray for comfort and strength in the Lord. Praise God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord in righteousness, from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let's just bow our heads again this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the King of glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the one that the psalmist here is writing about, and we praise you and we bless you this evening. Lord, we ask you that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us this evening and sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Bless everyone that's in this room tonight. Bind every work of the devil, I pray. Spoilage goods, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you tonight for those that couldn't be here, that you'll bless them and strengthen them and be with them and protect them, even at this time on the roads, Lord, and even each one as we go our different ways through the day. Keep your hand on every one, I pray, in the name of the Lord. Ask for joy in Billy tonight again for your blessing, especially for joy that you'll strengthen her and bless her and comfort her. And oh God, bless the whole family and save every one of them in the name of the Lord. Bless her sister Jenny tonight. Give her your strength. Give her your grace. Bless all the girls, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And save every one of them in the name of the Lord. Save all of her children and grandchildren in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, have your way in this service. Bless our sister Carl in this situation. And, Lord, you've surely confirmed to her twice. And I pray the enemy won't befit to rob her, but you'll give her the blessing pressed down and running over the top. We rebuke the devil over this situation. We pray there'll be a release in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you will. And I pray you'll bless your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. As may be seated, praise God. I just want to read that Psalms, but I want to sort of look, continue from Sunday about the Lord, how that the Lord was taken. Isn't it amazing? And it was a brother John really was the first one really to bring this out because of his experience where we're taken. And when you actually study it from the Bible, there is so much what the Bible talks about we're going to be taken. Caught away and taken. And the Lord Jesus himself was taken up. Then it says received up, taken up, out of their sight. And we saw that in the last service. Then we want to continue on tonight. How that the disciples were converted and they became believers. And we know they were believers even before Pentecost, but they had to wait to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They walked with the Lord. And here we read Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. It is the breath of God that makes us live physically. And the life is in the blood. We know the life's in the blood. And I believe when God breathed into Adam, the blood must have come in him. When God breathed in him. Because he was made from the dust. God made him. And when God breathed in him, we know that the breath of God is the spirit as well as the blood. And we know it's all connected because Brother Branham showed us when the token was broke, and that's the blood cell, when it was broken at the cross, the life of God was released. He's the only preacher that I've ever heard preach like that and talk like that. But it was the truth. And when the blood cell broke, the life of God was released so that it could come back in the church, fulfilling what God had already said and promised would take place. Now, the resurrection day, we know Jesus rose from the dead. We mentioned it briefly last week, and I won't have time tonight, but I could go into scriptures. You could see where the Lord was glorified when he went to be with the Father. There's a lot of things about that as well. But the first fruits of the new birth company, the church, and you know the church is all those that's truly born again. This building is not a church, and all them buildings round, they're just buildings. There's one church, one real church. Paul the Apostle says you can't join it. You're born into it by the Spirit of God, and the Bible calls it the mystical body of Jesus Christ, and you're born into that church. And if you're born into it, nobody can take you out of it. You're born into it, praise God. And there is this company, the church. How many believe you're part of that church tonight? The real church, the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, as Adam received the breath of life, so did the disciples here also become quickened spirits. God quickened them. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith in the coming of the Messiah. They were saved. You know, Job and all them that was in Abraham's bosom, there was salvation for them. They believed on the old sacrifices and all them things for the coming of the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, he brought in the New Testament, the New Testament, the new dispensation, and we know that the Old Testament was fulfilled, it was done away with, in the sense Christ abolished it, it says. He fulfilled it all. We don't no longer live by the law in the sense of trying to do it, but Jesus fulfilled every bit of it. The birth in the New Testament made possible through the Messiah's death and resurrection, and the veil was rent at Calvary. And a brother prayed tonight how the Lord, and I was thinking about it just the other day, the wounds on the Lord on the cross, and how he would have been bleeding. The blood would have been running down him on that cross, and he bled and died for me and you. And imagine when they nailed him onto the cross. Think of the wounds on his back, and they pushed him against that tree, and they nailed him to it. Into them wounds, pushed against it, and there he was hanging, suffering, and dying. And we know that he yielded up the ghost, and he cried out, "It's finished." And when before he cried out, notice also, before the Lord cried out, there's 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness. And that's when the Lord took our place, our hell. And everything that we are ever going to face, he took it in them 3 hours. And the darkness stopped when he cried out, "It's finished." And then when you go back to the book of Genesis, you see there was darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, and the darkness finished. And then you could go into the book of Exodus, and you could see for Moses and the children there, that says there was darkness in Israel that could be felt. Then the Spirit of God moved, and the darkness stopped. Now that gives us a key, and that lets us see that in the Bible, in all the times of darkness, the thing that immediately stopped it was the Spirit of God moving. Now, no matter what the situation is, if the Spirit of God will move, it can change it, even death. We know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but it takes the Spirit of God. We can learn on all them things and won't do it. It has to be the Spirit of God. And we need the Spirit of God to move. And when the Spirit of God moves, something can happen. When you don't think it can happen, if God's Spirit will move, it can happen. Just like in these examples in the Bible. You know, thus there remained no law, no priesthood, no temple, no covenant was fulfilled and abolished in the perfect once-for-all sacrifice, Christ, on the cross. Only his blood is accepted to God under the new covenant. You're not even saved by water, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get baptism of water as obedience. Now, there's people believe you need to be go through the water to be saved, but I don't believe that. Water has no power to regenerate. That belongs to the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody believe that tonight? Isn't that the truth? But you do the water as an obedience. Amen. Though the disciples were born of the Spirit, yet Jesus commanded them to wait and be baptized in the Spirit. Now there's no way any of us could say the disciples hadn't experienced the Spirit before Pentecost, because they had. Because the Bible says Jesus breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost when he was with them. And they went out and cast out devils. But when the day of Pentecost came, they were baptized. Baptized. Now God's Spirit could have moved us at different occasions, but then there comes a time when the Spirit of God baptizes us. And when you think of baptizing somebody in water, true baptism, as we know, is total submersion. Well, you're covered. You're right under the water. I remember, I don't know if you remember it or not, but you remember when I baptized my dad. When I baptized my dad, I think it was out of the lock. I think it was the lock. Anybody remembered? But I'll tell you, it's funny, because I can remember it. I'll never forget it, what happened. But I baptized my dad anyhow, and you know, I had the big beard and everything. And I put him under the water, but it just didn't cover him right. So I gave him an oar tip. But he thought I had slipped. He didn't realize he wasn't covered right. I gave him the second dip to make sure he was fully covered. And I never forget that. They get him right onto the water and then brought him up. And he said after it, he thought I'd slipped him, you know. But I hadn't. And then my mom was afraid of water. My mom wouldn't go in water. And she was coming to get baptized and she wouldn't go in the water. And she dreamed the night before the baptism that everything would be all right, and I put her in the water, and she came and got baptized in the water, but she was afraid to go in the water. But God gave her the dream, and on the strength of the dream, she went in the water and got baptized. And the Lord good. But he was scared when I gave him the second dip in. He didn't realize. We had him covered, you see. Totally submerged. Praise God. And God good. Amen. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, look what it says. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, Jesus was 40 days with them after he rose, showing himself, then another 10 days on your Pentecost. And you could, how many knows Pentecost means 50 as well? It can mean 50. And I haven't got time to go into that by the night. But it was fully come, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and sat upon each one of them. I worked done a job for a man one time. He's quite an age of a man, but he's a very fit man. I'd say he's 80 years of age, but he doesn't look 80. And he's fit, really fit. He's passed for 50 years of age. He's not fit. But he told me back in the Enum Church as a way, I go back when I maybe wasn't born. He was a young man himself. He saved from, he's a very young man, preached a bit. Was never a minister, but preached a wee bit. But he says there's a group of them got the baptism. But they prayed for it for weeks. They prayed and sought God for weeks, all night, prayer meetings and everything. And he says when the Spirit of God baptized them, he says it stayed on them for days. For days. It stayed on them. And some of them even seen like fire on people. Actually like licks of fire on people. They saw it. And he said that everywhere he went, he was talking in tongues for days. It stayed on him. Now people talk today about getting it, receiving the word, and you're getting it and all. But brothers and sisters, it has to be an experience. And it can't be anything different than what it says in the Bible, or else it's fake. It's fake. And you'll know it's fake because it's not producing what it produced here. And I tell you, them old boys, and I'm saying old boys, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but you know what I mean? That man got the real fire. And almost 80 years of age and still going on for the things of God. And he says to me, I should be ashamed of himself. This is what he told me. He says to me, I'm only praying for about an hour or two now in the day. Now he was serious. He says, I only pray for 1 or 2 hours a day now. He says, I used to be able to pray for 3 to 4 hours a day. Now I'm telling you why people say God's not moving. I'll guarantee you if people was praying. Now I know it takes God to move you to pray. And God can do that. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned, and I'm going to be serious tonight. It's dangerous sometimes to tell God to move you to pray. Because he might let things happen to get you praying that you mightn't like. It's like Evan Roberts, when Evan Roberts prayed for God to move him, God done things in that man, scared the life out of him. And they say when Evan Roberts went upstairs at night, they thought the roof was coming through. His bed shook. The power of God come on him, and he had out-of-body experiences. He saw visions in the night and everything, Evan Roberts, and saw the revival coming and everything. And God used that man more in a year than he did in a lot of ministries in a lifetime. That's the power of God. If we could get the power of God to come in one service, it'll do more in 5 minutes than a lifetime of preaching. That's the truth, isn't it? It's absolutely the truth. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you go down to verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men are not drunk as ye suppose. You know, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And he quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And if a brother Matthew puts it up, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit. God pouring out his spirit was prophesied by the book of Joel. Now we know, and I'm really wanting to keep with the Lord Jesus as well, but I'm showing you this what happened after the Lord went. But the Lord appeared many times to them. Christ appeared to them. And you could look it up in John 20 and Luke 24, 13 to 35 and Mark 16. There's so many scriptures where you could look up, for the Lord appeared to them in them 40 days. And he come amongst them. You know, even one of the cases where they were on the shore and they didn't catch anything, and he had the fish and all cooked for them. And somebody said, who caught them? He didn't need to catch them. He could speak them. He was the creator. Just like Abraham, the ram was there for him. Who caught it? God put it up there. How did it get up there? God put it there. Amen. That's the way God works. God does the impossible. But in Acts 10:38, it says, and God anointed Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day, showed himself openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen. So the Lord didn't show himself to everybody, but he showed himself unto those chosen before God. And I believe the rapture will be the same. When the time comes for us to go, we're going to be collected. How many believes that? There'll be 40 days. And it's going to happen. And there's nobody going to be surprised about it that's going. But the people that's left, the surprise will be in them. But they won't see any of it. I don't believe this modern stuff, what they talk about, it'll be on television and all these things. William Branham said the rapture takes place, things will just continue on as they are, they'll not even notice it. He says if a church is still having altar calls and the rapture's gone. That's what he said. The rapture will have taken place and they'll still have altar calls in churches. And you know there's a lot of churches, you can have altar calls, but if they're not been born again, it's just a man-made conversion, isn't that right? Only the Spirit of God can birth somebody. Praise God. Look at John 21, verse 1 and verse 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and this wise he showed himself. Now this is now the third time, verse 14, that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So he showed himself to them many times. The Lord Jesus showed himself in a number of appearances in the 40 days till his own, and we saw that. And also, when he showed himself, he opened their understanding. So after they got converted, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed himself to them all before this. He showed himself to them, and not only did the Lord show himself to them, but the Lord also opened their understanding. That's one thing, that except God opens a man's understanding, you'll show him nothing. You could show him the truth on scriptures and he'll not see it unless God opens up man's understanding. And God could pick somebody that's uneducated and open their understanding and show them things that a smart man will never know, because it comes by revelation from God. Luke 24, verse 44 to 46, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behove Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day. So the Lord Jesus showed himself and he opened their understanding. These scriptures were all here the whole time, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't put it together. But when the Lord opened their understanding, the picture was clear. Amen. It's like the second coming of the Lord. People maybe don't understand it, but the Lord could show you. The Lord could open your understanding of something, and you could see it. You could read scriptures for years and not understand something, and the Holy Spirit could open your understanding and you could just see it. Just like that. That's how God can do it. It's all to do with the Spirit of God. That's what we need tonight. Given spiritual insight into the prophets. He told them. He'd already spoken through the prophets. But when he opened their understanding, they could see the words of the prophet now, what they might hear happened. But they didn't understand until the Lord showed them the law of the prophets, prophecy, fulfillment, interpretation given. The Lord done it when he opened their understanding. He gave them the interpretation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight, and I want you to listen to me. You see, in this last church age, God sent a prophet. We believe that. And we shouldn't be ashamed to say that. We believe that. Now, people might think there's no importance to it, but there is. And there's that seven church age book sitting over there tonight, the expository of the seven church ages. And I just said to Brother Mark, the doctrine on serpent seed, the truth on it's in that book, on original sin. The truth on the Godhead's in that book. The truth on the seven church ages is in that book. Because God gave inspiration to the prophet. Because he foretold it in the word of God. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. Some people think it's not important. But all these things are important. But people will never see that unless the Lord opens their understanding, just like these disciples. These disciples were with the Lord. They should have knew all these things, but they didn't. But once he met them on the road and he opened their understanding, then they saw it all. They could see it. Because the Holy Spirit, the Lord was there himself, but the Lord done it. But now the Holy Spirit's been sent to open our understanding. How many believe that? The teacher. That's why we had the Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would open our understanding. And you know he speaks to you of the kingdom of God. In Acts 1 verse 3 to 5, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, been seen in 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he speaks to things pertaining to the prayer of God. And the spirit of Elijah that came in the last church age has spoken to us of things pertaining to the kingdom of God that we didn't know before. That's what's happened. Telling us about the rapture and about the foolish virgin and the wise. And you know all the denominations still preach that the wise are all lost, they're not saved. But the Bible doesn't say that. That's a man-made doctrine. The foolish, they're all virgins, so they must be pure, but five had oil and five didn't have oil. And when the rapture takes place, only those with the oil can go. That's the Bible. That's the people Jesus is coming for. The bride has made herself ready. And the only way she can be ready is with the oil of the Holy Spirit. That's what's so important that we preach about the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 to 44. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto their other husbandmen, which shall render him fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall in this stone shall be broken, but in whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So God took a people that it wasn't forced like the Jews. The Jews couldn't see him. They'd never recognize the Messiah because God blinded them. Now you can see a whole lot of these films that's made, and the way the films are portrayed, it's a dogma. There's something behind it. Why it portrays it like that? It's deliberate. And it's more or less again the Jews. It's to tell you that the Jews is terrible people. They killed the Lord, and they're sure their hands are guilty and all that. But it was the Lord, God already ordained it all to happen. And he said he would blind the Jews so that us, which were grafted in, which were not a people, could be the people of God. Praise God. Let's read Revelation 1 verse, chapter 1 verse 6. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And chapter 5 verse 9 to 10. And thus sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. The kingdom is revealed in the church. When the Holy Spirit, you remember when Jesus was on earth and he done all the things and he said the kingdom of God's come amongst you. That same power comes in the true church. It's the Holy Ghost power. Comes in the true church. And the true church of God should have the Holy Spirit in the true church. The power of God should be in the true church. And I'm going to close because I don't want to keep me long tonight. I appreciate everyone that has come out. But the Lord showed himself and done all these things, went to the Father, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty and High, and he's given gifts. The Lord has given gifts. And Paul tells us, now, I know for years people has preached that which is perfect has come and all the gifts are on the shelf. That's what people have been preaching for years, but I don't believe that. Because a prophet of God said God never takes away. He adds to. So God does. Now, if God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it from you. Because he's not an Indian giver. You have still the gift. And that's why Paul says, stir up the gift that is within thee. And he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And God's given us gifts. There's people here tonight with gifts. And you still have the gifts. And you need to stir up the gift. And those maybe want a gift. Covet earnestly the best gift. Now, I definitely believe we need a gift of healing and working of miracles. And I pray for a lot myself. And I'm telling you that. And that's the truth. We need it. We need God to move. And situations. And people say things happen and there's nothing we can do about it. And myself, I don't fully go all that. I know things can happen and maybe we'd like to do more. And I know we need God to do it. But I believe there's a place in God for it can be done. And many believe that tonight. There is a place in God for it can be done. And let us try and draw close to the Lord and pray tonight. Pray the Lord will have his way. We'll be here in the morning. Samuel's men have been preaching on Sunday night. So pray for all the meetings. The Lord bless each one. Let's come and bow our heads this evening.